Well, I didn't know what I was going to preach today. I went down to the meetings, and I just didn't just sort of put aside what for the week, you know, what I was going to preach this week. Generally, I mean, I'm not a holiday preacher. I mean, there's millions of them out there. You don't need another one. There's plenty of holiday preachers, and ain't nothing wrong with them. I've heard some wonderful holiday messages and stuff that were preached were absolutely great. And I have preached some holiday messages if God gives me one, but... But the Lord spoke to me today. Is one of the things is dealing. God's been dealing me with a lot about revelations that were given in, really in the past, and I look as a Christian that were given to us, but really have been moved away from us. Really, is dealing with the things God began to speak to me about this, and I title it "Raised Together with Christ." The Lord, you know, spoke to me about the fact that He said, you know, today there's going to be, you know, all around our community, our nation, around the world, they've been celebrating already, you know, in other nations. And they're celebrating, you know, the church goes through the things of the resurrection of Jesus. And that's good. They're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. But the Lord said this, that most everybody will hear their sermons, but they're going to go out and they're going to be the same person that they were. It's not going to change their life. Jesus raised from the dead, and you believe He's been raised from the dead, that's fine. But you can believe on Him and be born again, but you may not ever live a life like you've been born again. And much of the church world don't. There's many very good Christian people, but they really live a defeated life. They live lives that they aren't living in any kind of victory. They're not living, and because if you don't know what the truth is, and the Apostle Paul preached in the church the truth, really, Paul got a revelation of what the church was in Christ Jesus, what we were made. And you can't preach resurrection without it. Because if you cannot identify yourself with Jesus Christ, then you're just going to mostly be run over by the devil. See, most of the church world, I was raised in a church, and I believe they love God. I mean, you know, they went to church, they were after God as far as they knew, but they didn't know who they were, and the devil ate their lunch a lot. You know, and they come out with the doctrine, well, this must be the way God wants it, because it's happening this way. And that's the way, you know, they thought about it. But these revelations I'm going to talk about from the Bible, it's been there. Paul wrote about it. Paul talked about it. And it was really the church identifying themselves with Christ Jesus. Most people identify, boy, Jesus is really something, and He sure is. But if I cannot identify myself with Him, it is a totally impossible to walk in authority. You may have listened to teaching, and you believe God wants to heal you. You believe God wants to prosper you. Numbers of things. But if you don't have this revelation, those aren't going to hardly work for you. They won't work because you need to understand, because it doesn't matter that if you know God wants you to have it, how do I get it? What authority do I have to take it? What's my authority? Most people don't know it. Most people who believe God wants to heal them, they believe God wants them to have money, they believe God wants them to have a good mind, a good family, they don't take it by authority. They're waiting for God to give them something. Instead of having the revelation of what God has given you. This is what faith's about. Faith is about you believing what God has given you. That's what faith's about. If you don't know what God's given you, you can't stand in faith for it. If you didn't know God could say you could have healing, you have no place to stand for faith in it. You just have to hope maybe He'll have mercy on you. But if you know that the Bible says He gave it to you, well, now I can believe and say, hey, I'll take that. That's my, you gave it to me. You deposit it to my account. How do I get it? By authority. And by what right and authority do I have? See, we have an Antichrist spirit that's operating in the earth today. And it's a shame to say, but the majority of the church is following. We were singing up here, the last song we sang, all fear is gone. I'm sorry, fear is dominating Christianity today. That's why Christian churches, that's why ministers are turning churches over to what they call, you know, seeker friendly. It's all done because of the spirit of fear. You know, I got to have people like, I got to get a crowd in any way I can get a crowd to get, because that's my self-worth. You know, my self-worth is by, you know, you telling me that you really need me. I don't care if you tell me you don't need me at all. It don't make no difference. I don't care, personally. It doesn't matter. If you find out who you are in Christ Jesus, and see, men don't. They don't know, and they're trying. They're out here. Fear is dominant. People are making decisions. You know, a wonderful brother in the Lord. I mean, I just found this. We went down to there to Gatlinburg, and the one older gentleman, his wife wasn't there. I've talked to them numbers and numbers of times, and being down there, had meals with them and stuff. Wonderful people. And he wasn't there this time. He's always at these meetings in Gatlinburg. And so his grandson, who's a preacher, was there. And I went to him and I said, "Hey," I said, "where's your granddaddy at?" He said, "Man, a spirit's gotten a hold of him and he's gotten into fear." And he said, "He's just dominated with fear." He said, "He's got this idea that he ain't going to have enough money and stuff to make it." He said, "He's well off, and I know the guy's well off financially." See, don't think you get money in your life and everything like that, you're just going to be really nice. I'm going to tell you what, the devil, if you allow him to, this is one thing that I know. That didn't happen to him just off the spur of the moment. What he probably began to do is watching the economy, watching things, and slowly the devil getting fear. He became fearful, opening the door, and it came. Now look, I'm not knocking the man. Bless God, I pray for him, dear Lord, to be delivered. He said he stays at home all the time. He closes the blinds, you know, and stuff, and don't, you know, he wants to sit around in darkness. He don't want to get out. But see, there's a spirit that's operating. It's powerful. You need to understand that in this world, we're dealing right now with the most powerful Antichrist spirit that has ever operated in the earth. It's never been this strong before. America knows nothing about it, and that's why the American church got off over into its thing of getting more carnal. Really, the preaching got more earthly than it did heavenly. The ideas and things, we took the things of God's blessing, but the preaching, they were more preaching about really from a natural standpoint than a spiritual standpoint. People were finding out God wanted to bless them, but their spirituality never matched what they were after. And they turned around and got money to their own demise. They got money. Well, here's one thing about it. You might get money in your hand, but when the devil shows up, if you haven't grown spiritually, he's going to have it. The toughest guy in the crowd's going to end up with it. I decided I'm going to be the toughest guy in the crowd. We have a choice. We develop spiritually. Brother Hagin used to talk about ministering the word. He said, "I don't minister to men to their, you know, natural minds, and I don't minister to your body. I don't do none of that." He said, "I minister to spirit, the spirit." He said, "The words that I speak are for your spirit." Most today we have, it's for your natural. People want to hear things on a more natural level. And that's why you go into church. That's why seeker-friendly churches, that's what they're going to preach on natural level to attract spiritually dead Christians and spiritually dead people. Good preaching anyhow. I don't care if you like it or not. It don't matter. It's true. We preach to attract spirit people on a low spiritual level or on no spiritual level. You can't get people born again preaching on a low spiritual level. You got to preach them the word for their heart. You don't preach, you know, that they're dead in their sin. You don't preach them to that. They ain't coming. You tell them they're nice and all right and just a bad devil out there hurt them, and you need Jesus because you're such a sweetheart. And you come here to church and, you know, your marriage is messed up because your devil, you know, and God wants to bless you and you just live like hell and he'll bless you, I tell you, because you're a Christian. You know, you get to be a Christian and it'll all be just nice and we'll all get our ukuleles out and we'll tip tulips together and we'll just have a great time. And it's all going to work out on the end. And you watch people fail and people fail and people fail and people fail. That's why churches have to have such huge counseling ministries. They need them all the time because they're trying to naturally get people out of what is going on spiritually. And you need to stay in counseling for at least 10 years to try to get through life. Anybody has to go 10, 15 sessions of counseling, there's something wrong with them. They need to get born again. You're probably dealing with a demon. This stuff got to stop. You know, Jesus Christ could not get in the church world today for other, because I don't ever find him counseling people all the time and trying to counsel people to get to live a godly life. You know, these people just tell them, say, "You know what? You're a child of the devil and you live like him." Jesus said that to people. I'm just telling you, Jesus Christ would not be liked in the church world today. He would not. If Jesus Christ came and preached messages that he preached and would come into church today and preach messages, he would be put out of many churches. Spirit-filled churches. Oh, they're filled with spirits. Believe me. Like Brother Hagin says, the devil is more faithful to going to church than Christians are. Oh, yeah. He used to say that all the time. But people get over and get into this stuff. We need to understand that. We're living in a dire time. And we got to take the revelation from the Word of God and we got to get in it. We got to believe what the Bible says, start saying what the Bible says, start believing what it says and walk in it. You need to get over. It's not working today living on this low level thing. People are failing. People need to know. I mean, people come in and they expect, you know, somebody to pray for them just to get the devil off of them. They don't expect to have to use their faith. They don't expect to have to do anything. You know, you just come down here and we just give you a card and you go swipe it someplace and get it what you want. This is what we're going to do for you. The church world is operating in that same level. Well, if we haven't noticed, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, we're, you know, it's like, well, God's out here and, well, he's just a nice guy and so it's going to work out because he's nice. He's merciful. Therefore, I can live like hell, but I will always be shown mercy. No, you won't. You know, Job got over there saying, the devil's eating my lunch. Did God just say the devil? Well, you know, you can't do nothing to him because he's one of mine. Did the devil eat his lunch? Yes. You know, God is merciful, folk. But you're not going to live like hell and have mercy. Go ask the folks that are already in hell. Is hell because God isn't merciful? No, he surely was. Definitely he's long-suffering. I know God's long-suffering. He told Kenneth E. Hagin in 1950 that America was having its last call. We're in our 53rd year, and we still don't see the smoke rising off of America. We are under God's mercy right now, but I'm going to tell, I want you to understand this. It's drawing to a close, and it is drawing to a close in the church if people don't get right. Like Randy said down there, he said, when the Lord gave him the revelation, said to him, he said, when Noah went into the ark, he said, I closed the ark, the door of the ark. Noah didn't. The Bible says God closed it. Do you know what happened to the people outside? I don't care if you thought Noah was right. If you weren't on his team, you were left out. Now see, there hasn't been a fear of God in the church. The world doesn't have a fear of God because there's no fear of God in the church. Paul wrote, he said, if the righteous are barely saved, what's going to happen to the wicked? He said, you and I are barely saved. Do you know that? We ain't such hot shots. I want you to look at, because we need a revelation. The church can only change if they receive what God says and walk in it. If they'll receive what God says and walk in it. You can't live another kind of life and succeed. You're going to have to believe what the Word of God is. I want to go over to Romans, the 4th chapter. Speaking concerning about Abraham. If we went up in the beginning of the chapter, it talks about Abraham's, it goes down through to talk about Abraham's faith, Abraham's believing God. Abraham, he didn't consider, he like the Bible tells us in that verse, the God who, he calls things that don't exist as though they do. Or calls things that be not as though they were. So there was something, he's talking about that guy. Abraham, it says, he didn't consider, his age. He didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He only believed that the promises. It was talking about faith. And of the faith of Abraham. And in verse 22 it says, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. What was counted to Abraham as righteousness? It was Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith. Understand this. Righteousness is never accounted to anybody by deeds. I don't care if you're doing the will of God, what God wants you to do, it is not accounted to you. Kenneth E. Hagin was doing the will of God out in ministry and going under. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, the Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you need to go to the land. He said, well, yeah, you've been willing. You're out there doing my will, but you ain't been willing to do it. He wasn't walking by faith. That's what he was doing. Wasn't walking by faith. Did he get any blessing? No. But he was doing what God wanted. Righteousness is always by faith. If you have a righteous stand, you're doing the will of God that you want. You're wanting to do it. You're doing it by faith. You are righteous. If you are righteous or you're doing what's right, then you will be rewarded. Faith is doing what's right. It's believing God. We can't, you'll never be able to respond to God other than by faith. Abraham responded by faith, and then it says this, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. In other words, this stuff isn't written in the Bible for Abraham, it's written for us. It's to tell you and me that it works exactly the same way. It works no difference. It's accounted to us as right faith does. We believe what the promise says, and we believe that. And when you and I believe it and act on that, that is righteousness. I'm righteous before God always just by faith. There's no other way to be. There is no other way. To me, that's good news. I can always qualify in that. It's not done by genius. It's not done by the smart guy, the guy who really knows how to figure things out, or somebody. It's just comes down to anybody. I'm on to anybody can chat. I'm going to believe what God said. I just believe it. So praise God. I'm believing God. I'm going to believe. God said, we're going to have a kid. We're going to have a kid. You know? See, what changes, you know, God says, well, you're going to have a kid. But the doctor said, well, you have a choice now, either to be righteous or unrighteous. You can walk around and keep telling your friends what the doctor said. That's unrighteousness. Actually, the Bible has a real dirty word about that unrighteousness. It's called sin. We sin all the time with our mouths talking against God. Hallelujah. We won't go there. All right? We'll let that alone for a while. He goes on to say, though, he says it was imputed to him. It was imputed to him. So what was written, that was imputed to him, but it wasn't written, he said, just for his sake alone. That was put there for our sake to let us know that you and I can please God by faith. You and I can get on God's side. It says, but also for us, he said, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who what? Who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Who, listen to this, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. You see, people today will rejoice that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. What was the purpose of the resurrection? 99% of the church will say this, to forgive us of our sins. No, it wasn't. Because when people think of forgiveness of sin, you know, just like I listen worship songs and different things, you hear preachers talking about, oh, the blood of Jesus. And see, a lot of things talk about the blood of Jesus, and they say, oh, the blood of Jesus covers my sin. No, it don't. That's what they had under the old covenant. You know what? After every year, the covering came off. Our sin is removed. Our sin is removed. How? By the born-again experience. If you are not born again, you are still in sin. And you will not end up in heaven. You got to get born again. It is through the new birth. Jesus removed sin. Jesus dealt with the offense. He was delivered up. Why? He was delivered to the cross because our offenses, or we could say because of the sin nature of man. That's why. But why? He was raised from the dead. What? So everybody can say, woo, gee, ain't that something? He's sitting up there one day, he's going to come back and we're going to go off to heaven and be blessed. Oh, ain't that nice? No, he said he was raised from the dead for my justification, for your justification. He was raised from the dead for us, not for him. Jesus had never sinned. He didn't have one offense. He didn't die for him, and he didn't raise. And see, the church will turn around and shout, and it's good. Jesus is raised from the dead. But why? It's about you and me. It's about the church. It's about everybody that believes on him. You need to understand and know why it was done and receive it. It was done for me. It was done for you. He was raised so you could be justified in the presence of God. Jesus didn't come and die so we could have peace on earth. He died so you could have peace with God. My God, most of the church don't even know God. How much less could they get peace in the world? Dear Lord, it's now God and I are at peace. I am justified through faith in Christ. I'm justified in the presence of God. I am justified to ask anything according to His will, and He will give it to me. I'm justified. Why? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. I can stand in the presence of God. So you've got to learn how to talk to God. Most Christians talk to God like they're beneath Him. And that's why they're failing. That's why people can't get healed. That's why people, because they keep approaching God as if Jesus is way out there and He's so above us and so everything. They don't even know why He died. All I got, forgiveness of sin. So we believe that and then we preach. This is how you get saved. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. We have developed more gospels and preached more stuff that has messed men up than if we come to the scriptures. Jesus was raised from the dead so you who have faith in Him could be justified in the presence of God. Your faith in God has justified you. It's made you righteous. Hallelujah. You can stand in the presence of God and ask Him anything. That's why Jesus said, He told His disciples, 4:11, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He'll give it to you. Why? Because you're justified. Hallelujah. If you don't know that you're justified, and that's what the devil don't want you, he wants you to have a seeker-friendly church where you think like the sinner, where you see yourself as, oh yes, I'm saved, but I'm just still a sinner. You know, I'm just still a little sinner down here. You know, I'm just going to sin. The devil, the Antichrist spirit, has moved and has put the sin consciousness in the church. And so he gets the preachers to preach it. To make you feel unworthy in God's presence. You don't belong here. You can't. Yes, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. But that was for Abraham. You know, he's over you. Maybe David could have. But not you, you old scumbag. No, don't you remember the thing you did wrong? He'll keep you in a sin consciousness. He'll keep you in a sin. Now look, if you're living in sin, you ought to have a sin consciousness. If you're living like hell, you should have a sin consciousness. Your own spirit should be saying to you, you get straightened up and get your flesh in line. If your spirit isn't saying that to you, it's because you never listened to it. If you can sin and your spirit don't talk back to you, then I know you ain't listening to it. I don't know about it. Mine bothers me. I got this thing called conscience. I have tried many times to ignore it. And then I have trouble going to sleep and I got to repent. Then I'm able to go to sleep. If your conscience isn't strong towards you to correct you, you're in trouble. I'll tell you this. If your conscience isn't strong, it's because you're spiritually weak. Your flesh is dominating and ruling. Good preaching anyhow. We'll go on from there. But you're justified. Hey, you can confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you. You can confess your sin. But we're justified in the presence of God. God raised Jesus from the dead so you could be justified in the presence of God. Look at Ephesians, the second chapter. What Ephesians, second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 4. I'm going to start reading from verse 4. Listen to this. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. Now, I want you to understand, this stuff is written to Christians. God loves the sinner, but if they don't come into the kingdom, they qualify for none of this. The Bible is, the New Testament is letters written to the church. It's not letters written to the world. These are letters that the Apostle Paul and John and Peter and James wrote to Christians. Speaking to people who are born again. This is not everybody out here. See, they've made the messages today. You go to churches and they've made the messages where the sinner believes he's in the same camp as the people, because they don't talk about born again, they don't talk about none of that, is in the same camp. No, he's not. He qualifies for, the one who doesn't receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior qualifies for none of this. They can, if they want to, if they receive Christ, they can instantly qualify for it all. But if they don't get born again, they don't qualify. You must. Jesus said, you must be born again. All right, what? You ain't going to see God. You don't get born again, you ain't getting in the kingdom. It ain't happening. This is for kingdom people. Hallelujah. That's what we are. We're kingdom people. See, if I identify who and what it's for, then I know who it's for. And then now we know it's for us. So these things are written to us. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, it says, even when we were dead in trespasses. See, he's talking to Christians. You were once in that camp. You were once in the trespass camp. You were over there. The trespass. The word trespass, you know what it means? Sin. You and I were in the sin camp. God's mercy was reaching out to us when you and I were in the sin camp. But he said, what did he do there? He made us, God made us alive with Christ. Is Jesus Christ more alive than you today? No, he's not. Does Jesus have more resurrection than you have? No, he don't. Well, I'm glad you know that, because you're probably 0.1% of the church that knows that. Most of the church world, Jesus is raised. One day in the sweet by and by, we're going to go to heaven and we're going to go up there and we're going to grovel at his feet because we're so unworthy. I would think about this. Jesus was correcting Brother Hagin on some things one time in a vision, and Brother Hagin fell on his feet and he said, oh Lord, I'm so unworthy. He said, Jesus rebuked him and said, stand up on your feet. And he said, when I looked into his eyes, it was like fire and lightning coming out of his eyes. He said, I made you worthy. Don't you ever say you're not worthy. See, some of you are lucky that you didn't hear God speak back to you the way you talked to him. He is not happy the way with much of the church speaks to him. We talk to him like we're some kind of lowlifes. He don't like that. You're not some old lowlife. You're not a lowlife. You're a child of God. We're in a kingdom. We're supposed to talk God. You know, could you imagine if somebody would be, you know, put in a position, you know, say, a guy appoints people, say a business. A guy appoints people as leaders within the business to do different things, but when they come to him, they got to grovel and treat themselves like they're unworthy of the job. The guy gets so sick of that, he'd fire the whole bunch of them. I'm sure God felt like firing the whole church sometimes. You know, when you go to a meeting and he's asking people what's going on out there, he expects somebody to stand up and talk about, you know, what's going on and what's happening like they belong in that room. You have no business going to the room. There's one thing is we worship God, and I love to worship God. I don't worship him because I'm unworthy. Because I'm an old lowdown. That's why I don't buy the bumper stickers, you know, stupid things, and put them on your car. I'm going to tell you, today you put the bumper stickers on the way, I believe the Christians will be throwing rocks at you. Blasphemy! Blasphemy! Get the rocks! Hallelujah. But we were what? We were made alive together with Christ. God identified you as that when Jesus Christ, anybody who believes on Jesus, it's just as if you were raised from the dead. Now Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, the Bible says. In other words, the same glory raises you. You're in the same glory. See, the church don't identify themselves. And no wonder there's been such weakness. We can't boast that we got the position because we did anything great. It was all just on the basis of faith, that justification, that righteousness which is by faith. But nonetheless, I'm in the position. You know? I remember, you know, when I worked at Reese's and that stuff, and I was a group leader, and some people would say, yeah, the only reason you got that position is because the boss liked you. Well, I don't care. Good. I got the position, didn't I? I didn't give up the position because to be like one of them knuckleheads. To sit around and be nothing but a complainer and go nowhere in life. Praise God. You know, I was like with Rod McLean. Rod McLean would always say, "God, I'm God's favorite kid." That's a smart thing to believe. I said, who do you think you are? God's favorite kid. He knows God likes him. I mean, he's got it over the majority of Christianity. He thinks God likes him. Hallelujah. And he's right. God loves it because he talks in a way that is in line with the Bible. It's not humility to put yourself in, and deny the position you're in. Now, I would be arrogant if I act like I got the position because of who I was. But humility does not lie about what's true. And this is what the Lord told me years ago. Many Christians lie all the time. He said they lie. See, he said if you walked up and asked them about what they think of a liar, they'll tell you they hate a liar. But he said they're liars because they're always walking around and talking like something they're not. He said their voice is mostly identifying them with the rest of the world. He said they're not talking about who they are, what I made them. He said they lie. See, we don't view that as lying. It's because, why? We let the world system preach an earthly gospel to us that we have believed and we think we're speaking the truth. The spirit of Antichrist gets in and robs away truth. He don't want you. Anything the devil doesn't want you to know is who you are. My God, he's in trouble when you once you know who you are. And you know your position. He knows this. We got huge troubles. Let's move someplace else where they're a little dumber. You know. Let's go do something because these boys are going to cause us some trouble. We need to walk in the truth. You've been made alive. He says, you've been made alive. He said, why? By grace you've been saved. It's by the grace of God. But that's part of the verse doesn't cheapen it. You're still made alive. You've been made alive. I don't care if it was by God's grace. I don't care that he did it all. And he did. But it changes nothing with the church. We've been made alive with Jesus. Hallelujah. It changes nothing. The truth's been spoken. He just tells us how we got it. You didn't even have to buy it or earn it. You got it. Hallelujah. It was the grace of God made you alive with Jesus. The church got to that point and then they'd preach down on you from there. The only reason you're saved, you scumbag, is because, you know, God just had mercy on you, you idiot. You're just going to have to hold out here the best you can till Jesus comes back. And who knows, you may not make it. Hallelujah. No, it was God's grace and he made you alive. What did he do? He made you alive and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And why did he do that? That in the ages to come, he could treat you badly, talk about you and say, what an idiot you are. No, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Oh, God wants me poor for a reason. No, it isn't. It's you and the Antichrist. It's you and the Antichrist spirit. It's you and that fear that's dominating. No, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says you're seated in heaven, the same place that Jesus is. You must. The Bible says we're in Christ. If I'm in Christ, then where am I seated? See, when this revelation, I'll never forget Kenneth Hagin teaching on these things. And at first, to me, it was sort of like too good to be true. Could this really be true? You know, because your mind gets overthinking this thing. You know, me seated the same place. I'm walking in the same authority as Jesus. Now, understand this. This ain't the Jesus that walked in the earth. I'm walking in the same authority. I'm sitting on the same seat of authority that the resurrected Jesus is sitting. See, this is why I've always said before, the church only knows the Jesus that walks the earth. You need to get born again so you can learn about the Jesus that you're tied to now. He'd be the resurrected victor. That's why it tells us, you know, we're more than conquerors. You wouldn't have been if he was just been the same old guy walking around back there. But because he's raised from the dead and he's seated in authority over all authority over heaven, earth, and hell, everything. That's where we're seated. Hell has no authority over the church. Hell has used authority, but he used our authority by us sitting back and letting the devil do things. We allow him to do it, saying, Jesus, why don't you do something about him? We're sitting on the throne and we're saying, Jesus, why don't you do something about the devil? Jesus, why don't you do this? Jesus, do this for me. Jesus, do that. Instead of standing up and saying, hey, hold it. Hold it. Hold it. I'm in charge here. Oh, I would never say that I'm in charge. Jesus would love to hear some Christians stand up. Hey, down here I'm in charge. I got the keys of the kingdom. Whatever I bind, heaven's right behind me. Jesus is going saying, go get them, tiger. Hallelujah. Oh, no, that sounds like blasphemy. Well, sure, to religion, to the gospel of the church today, it's blasphemy. We need to get in line with the word. Why? God, the ages, or this time to come. In other words, from the time you got saved, God has plans to reveal His goodness, His riches of blessing into your life. Now, there's a day that we'll step off this earth and it'll even get better beyond what we could all imagine or think. But I'm going to tell you what, we're supposed to have some heaven right here in the earth right now. But you can't have it not identifying yourself of who you are in Christ Jesus. You can't have it. If you don't see yourself in the place of authority that He's raised you up to, you don't see yourself with, I have the life of God. It's been given to me. I have the same life that raised Jesus from the dead. I got the same thing. I have it. I'm not going to get it someday. I got it. I'm tired of reading those funeral things and all that stuff. Well, they finally stepped into their eternal life. If you ain't got eternal life on this side, you don't get one on the other side. People say that stuff. My God, these poor heathen funeral directors, you know, it's like, dear God, and then the Christians let them put it down there about it. Say, what's going wrong with you? You didn't step into no eternal life. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. You got eternal. You got the life of God now. If you have God's life, it's nothing but eternal. And if you have God's life now, you have eternal life. You're not going to get it. You got it. Because if you believe you got to get it someday, you're going to always live like you don't have it, and the devil's going to own you. Hallelujah. We got it now. Listen over in Colossians, the third chapter. Let's go there again. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. This is a good resurrection sermon. Hallelujah. See, you got to identify yourself. You got to see yourself. I'm telling you, get these scriptures, meditate on these things till they become real to you of who God made you. I don't care. I remember I said when I started off, I used to think, my words, you know, is this too good to be true? This is like, wow. But the more I kept, it's written here on the pages, you know, and it ain't written just one place. It's written on the pages, and it's written, and I kept looking at it, and I think, my God, this is nothing like I'd ever been told before. That's why a lot of people, you know, get over this brother, hey, Ken, taking this faith message. It's crazy. You know, this faith message stuff. And then now today, the idiots, the same people who used to walk and live in this stuff, say, there was this faith movement. It's gone now. We've gone on to something else. I'm going to tell you, you can't get saved without faith. If there's a faith movement, any moron that sits and preaches and uses the term faith movement is already under the influence of the Antichrist. That's what the Antichrist wants you to think. He wants you to think the things that God gave you in the past, you don't need them now. We're going on to higher revelation. Boy, it's worked great in the church, hasn't it? Our country's just turning around with these new revelations, aren't they? The reason we're in this situation now is because we listened to those idiots who told us faith was a movement. Faith is a life. And if you give it up for anything else, you on your own. You and the devil and his cousin Leroy and the rest of them. But you on your own. The only way you hook in God's kingdom is through faith in God. And it isn't a movement. God told Kenneth Hagin, He said, told him to go teach his people faith to get them ready for his coming. Why? Because the church wasn't walking it. And the devil got in the church and now has gotten preachers preaching. We don't need that movement anymore. Spirit-filled ministers saying these things. Antichrist spirit. Why? To rob the church, to weaken the church so the devil can take over America. I'll tell you, I hear people talk like that. They don't get my ear again. They don't get my ear. I don't care how many other good things they say. That I don't care. That poison alone is enough to destroy a nation. That poison. You know, it's like what they say, rat poison's, you know, it's a majority of it, 90-some percent of it is edible. You could eat it. It's that little bit that'll kill you. I'm going to tell you, I'm not buying somebody's book. I don't care if they're putting out 90% good. I ain't paying for 10% of Antichrist. I'm not paying for it. It's like Randy Greer said, need to get those books and go burn them. He's right. That's what the devil does. He comes along, he takes what truth, but he'll put enough in it, poison in it, to kill you. He'll wrap it up in a pretty package. Hallelujah. So I stick to the Word of God. Colossians, the third chapter. verse 1 says, if then you were raised with Christ. See what he's talking about. Then if you're raised with Christ, if you are, in other words, he's saying, basically tell him you are. You're raised. Well, if you're raised with Christ, then what has he said? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Oh, what can we do down here to make all this work? What can we do down here to make... How can we reach people? Let's think down here on an earthly level. Let's not seek God. You know, I go to these... It's amazing. I've been in church growth conferences. They call them church growth conferences. You know, they'll have two or three scriptures that they use, but the whole thing is about your idea and our man's ideas of how you get people to come to church. And there's one thing. You never hear them talk. They never, never, ever talk about seeking God, spending time in prayer and seeking God and get God's plan for your... They never talk about that. Never. It's all men's stuff. Garbage, trash. That's why America has what it has today. We got churches, 30, 40, 50,000 people in them, and the devil's trying almost taking over our nation. I know this. That church is as dead as the leaders of the nation. There is dead. There's got to be a people stand up someplace. Brother Hagin said, the church got to stand up and say to the devil, this far, no further. You ain't doing any more of this. It's a stop. Oh, not today. It's, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just get charged. Everything's just so wonderful. You send your check, I'll pray for you. You just go live like hell. Just send in your requests with the check. Remember, you've got to send a check, because if you don't send a check, God won't answer your prayer. Got to send a check. It's got a good money-making scheme. You were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind. What you find when you seek God, that's what you set your mind on. That's the way that you start thinking that way. You don't have to go to somebody else who will find out how the new revelation that's coming out. I'm going to tell you, if you ain't got the old revelation, let me tell you this. If we can't get prosperity and healing and things working for us, we don't need any new revelation. I am sick of it. The church can't even get a hold of God in the littlest things, and we want a new revelation from heaven. What for? You throw it away anyhow? Come on. Get on. You gotta get to a point in your life where what you believe you can walk in. You don't need a new revelation. You know, if a kid can't learn to read by sixth grade, sending him to seventh ain't gonna do any good. The church is full of idiots. Love to hear something. Oh, I got a new revelation. I know about 10,000 old ones you never even heard yet. Fear God. Set your mind on it. You seek God till He talks to you. You can't keep running to somebody else to hear from. To me, it was sitting down and knowing it. Randy talked about things this week. I didn't hear a bunch of new stuff out of Randy. God was confirming things He spoke to me over the years. I'll guarantee you, there's people there who that was the first time they heard it. It's all new. If it's only new to you now, man, you got to start learning to work in it. That's not good. Praise God, I've had time to prepare. See, you're supposed to. Each of us need to hear God. There's things that you need to hear specifically from God for yourself. You need to know what to walk in. You need to know what to live in. You need to know what you got to do in your situation. Somebody else just can't come up and hand it to you. You know, God through teaching teaches us certain things and brings certain things to us. But you have to hear from heaven yourself. You got to know heaven yourself. Set your mind on these. He said, listen to this. For you died. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He's talking about you died. He's not talking about physical death. See, people look at you died. Well, yeah. He's not talking about anything physical. You died. What happened? The old man, the guy that you were before you received Christ, your old spiritual nature, it died. It's gone. See, men and people, they talk about the old man. Well, the old man, I remember a church I used to go to years ago, and the pastor, you always talk about the old man trying to take over again. And all it was his flesh. But see, he could never overcome things because he identified his flesh as the real him. Your old man is dead. You, any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It doesn't say he's a schizophrenic with he's an old and a new. You know, I'm out here and I tell you, I got two personalities. You know? Well, then you belong in a hospital somewhere. And really, it is sort of an insanity. A person walking around talking about like they have not been born again. That sin still has dominion, is going to overtake me. This old man just keeps trying to get up. I'm going to tell you, when God killed that spiritual nature, it's dead. If God can't kill it dead, it can't be killed dead. You just might as well forget it. Sin wins. I read in the book and it said, you dead! Now, I have a life. And where is this life? Where is this life? It's hidden with Christ in God. Man, I'm going to tell you, the devil ain't getting at this life. Where is this life? You're in Christ Jesus. And this life that you have is hidden in God. It isn't hanging out there for the devil for his taking. Hallelujah. You've been raised from the dead with Christ. You have this position. Hallelujah. That old nature, it's dead. Hallelujah. This is why quit identifying yourself with the world and telling people you're like they are. If they ain't born again, we ain't even close. We're talking about devil's kids and God's kids. Now that isn't popular in the church world today. Nobody's a devil kid. We're all the same. We're all... Because see, we're bringing unity. You know, we got the new Pope, but he's already bringing the new unity in. He's going to bring the new union. He calls the Muslim his brothers and sisters. Washing the feet of Muslims. He's already started doing it. That's going to be the whore that's going to ride. Because even there's Christian churches are following into the same thing. We're bringing all the religions together. It's going to be just sweet and rosy. And the Bible tells us in Revelation, that's the whore that rides on the red dragon. The red dragon is the devil. Oh, it's getting so sweet. See, you've got to identify yourself with who you are. Because I don't identify myself with them. I'm not going there. I'm not going. I'm not walking their path. There's only one. You know, it's just like Randy Greer had a vision. Some vision some years back when George Bush was president. It was a dream. He had a dream. And in the dream, he found himself in a place, standing in a place. He said there was a road, there was a hill, and he said, George Bush, you know. Anyhow, he ended up talking to George Bush and told George Bush, he said, don't be a lame duck president. He said, don't be a lame duck president, your last thing. But anyhow, George Bush went to walk away from him and went to walk away, and he started to walk away from him. He stopped and turned around and said, can I ask you a question? And Randy said, I walked back up to him, and he said, yes, Mr. President, you can ask. And he said, what about Israel? And Randy Griss said, in the vision, in this dream, he said, I said to him, there's only two people who are going to bring peace to Israel. He said, the Antichrist and Jesus Christ when he returns. And he just basically told him, you leave Israel alone. See, anybody that's over here, anybody that's working at this thing about peace in Israel, we know this, they're not in faith with God. I went over and I can take it in Isaiah where it talks about the judgment that's going to fall. Well, in fact, you go over and look in, go read in Joel. Joel talks about this. What God's going to do in the valley of Jehoshaphat, he's going to destroy the nations who have divided the land. The judgment is going to fall. That, the valley of Jehoshaphat, is where we call Armageddon is going to take place. God's going to destroy the nations who have turned around and divided the land. America needs to stay away from that. The Bible has its word out. I don't care what any other Christian says about it. I don't give a rip what they say. Oh, we need to give the Palestinians a land and we need to do this. You talk it over Jesus sometimes, see how he's going to feel about it. I think as many Christians are going to end up, you know, being in the army trying to kill Israel. Hallelujah. Good preaching anyhow. But you set your mind. You died. Your life is hidden in Christ and God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, he said, then you shall also will appear with him in glory. So in other words, when there is that day will come, we're going to get a full, right now, understand, we're going to have a full deliverance, we're going to get a new body. We're going to have the complete salvation. But what about to now? Well, already now, the life you had before is dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's done now. The Amplified Bible says this, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your mind and keep them set on what is above. He says, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. Right now, Christian brother and sisters, get your eyes off of what's going on. People are getting into fear, into trouble because the church, we got away with things for a long time, living a pretty good life, following a lot of what the world did. It ain't working now. Get over where you're set your mind. Get over where your view concerning your future is not based on what you heard from the news or what they say is going on or what's happening. You got to get a different view. You got to see it differently. Hallelujah. Now I want you to go to Romans, the sixth chapter. I want to share this with us because we're having communion this morning. Now I want you to understand, These communion elements are for born-again Christians only. I want you to understand this. There's going to be a lot of death take place in this nation. People are going to get in a whole lot of trouble for playing with Christian stuff that you should not be messing with. And I just want to say this. If you're not living right as a Christian, you shouldn't be taking that either. Paul wrote about it. Paul wrote about people not living right. He talked about the church. Many are weak and sick, and some of them said died prematurely. Why? Taking communion. See, you don't treat the things of God as being unholy. This stuff is for people that are in communion with God, fellowship with God. It's people. It's not for everybody out here. Church is bringing all this stuff out of here. God has tolerated for such a long time these things. I'll tell you what, there'll come a day, it's just like it did in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is going to take place again. And you know what? People are going to end up dead, and it's going to happen just like in the book of Acts. And it said they no longer joined themselves together with them. You're going to have people who are going to desert the church in hordes because when they find out you can't play church and play this stuff, you might end up dead. They'll get out. They're going to say, hey, hold it. This God stuff is real. You don't go down there and play this night. That happened in the book of Acts. More than one time. People play with things. It ends up trouble. We don't want to do that. We're identifying who and what we are. We're different than the world. Let's quit offering a Christianity that has nobody. We say we want the power of God in manifestation. The first power of God that's going to come into manifestation is the judgment of God so he can bring his power to reveal divine healing and all the other stuff. This isn't going to be some mess like it has been. So we need to understand, if you treat God's things as they're holy, they'll bless your life. You treat communion like it's holy and it's such a blessing. Hallelujah. You can get well taking it. You can walk in blessing. But people, this is not for everybody. It's not for sinners. See, the church don't identify itself anymore of who it is, who it belongs to. We treat the holy things just like, well, it's anybody, just throw it out there. Yeah, we're just doing our little religious gig today. No, it's not. It's a dangerous thing to mess with these things, especially in these times. We're in days of judgment, if you have not noticed. That's why so many are weak and sick in the church world. That's why. We thought we could just keep believing the old way we wanted to at any time and it would just work like it did before. It doesn't. When you step into these times, just like in the first church, they started off, the glory of God was in manifestation. My God, we got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, we have millions of Ananias and Sapphiras in the church, and we have been lucky they all haven't died. Why? Because of the mercy of God. But I'm going to tell you, that day is coming to a close. You don't want to be Ananias and Sapphira. The church, the carnal Christians have made a terrible mistake. They kept praying for a move of God and didn't realize they were going to bring their own judgment on their head. You ask God for something, you just keep hounding around. He might just show up with it, but it could be to your detriment. That's why Ed wants to live right. Why? Let's treat things of God holy. Treat the Word like it's holy. Treat it like it's what it says. You and I have the privilege to take communion. We got a privilege. It's something holy to God. It must be pretty darn holy that in the church at Corinth that people were dying. That's like somebody going in the Old Testament, going into the temple and going into the Holy of Holies that didn't belong there. We have one king in Israel who just went to the altar of incense, said he could offer incense, a priest in heaven, and instantly got leprous. Paul said the same thing was happening. Why? This is for the priest only. Priests aren't the pastor. It's every Christian who is born again are priests of God. The service of this communion is only for the priests. That's all it's for. People might have gotten away with things. I didn't plan on preaching on that, but I tell you, it's still good anyhow. It's because we need to take this back. This is something that the holy people do. This is ones that are separated to God. These are the ones that are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. These are the kings and the priests of God. We take communion. It belongs to you and me. It belongs to us. This is what Jesus Christ gave to His covenant people. This is what He said. Do this in remembrance of me. Till I get back, this is a holy thing for my people. Hallelujah. And you treat it as such. Today, the churches will be open and every pagan that has them darkened but will come because of the Easter egg hunt and because of the bunny rabbits, we can bite their ears off and stuff and we can do all that kind of stuff. And they'll come today and they will treat communion like it is just a nothing. They'll spit on God, calling it Christianity. The ministers will stand in front and have the pagans come and give what belongs to the righteous, to the wicked. If you think those men will end up in heaven, you're insane. That stuff will not happen. We don't do that. Hallelujah. See, I know it's sombering, but I'm going to tell you what. We're in dangerous times. The devil ain't playing games. The devil is working as hard as he can to get Christianity out of America. And if you're a Christian, he's after you. Go ahead and play church. See what happens. I'll tell you, in the next year, we're going to find out who's on whose team. Because things get tough, whoever's on whose team, we'll see. Hallelujah. God's revealing His glory in the church. Now, in Romans 6 says this. Romans 6, the fifth chapter says, If we have been united together in the likeness of His death, see, He died spiritually, we're identified. Understand this. You are identified in the likeness of Christ's death. Now, think about this. If you've been identified in the likeness of Christ's death, think about this. God looks at you as if you died for your sin. See, mankind was in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, just like with Adam, the Bible says Adam, when Adam sinned, sin passed on to everybody. When Christ died, we were all in Christ Jesus. Our sin was put upon Him. God identified humanity in Christ, and everybody who believed on Jesus Christ after His resurrection, God identifies that person. This is why we don't have blood covering our sin. God identifies that you paid the price for your sin because you were in Christ. Now, you didn't. He did it. But because of faith in Him, God identifies you as me, has already paid, you paid the penalty for your sin. It's all over. See, Christians are still living like they got to pay the penalty for their sin. I hear Christians talk about their past, and you'd think about my words. They probably wonder if they even think they're going to make it to heaven. It doesn't matter. The Ed Gibson who lived a godless life, the guy who is over-involved in sorcery, he's dead. If you haven't noticed that I'm a different man, we're going to take you to Phil Haven and get you some really strong drugs to put you under. Because you ain't rap tight. You see, that man died. You ask my wife, that man died. Thank God, she wanted to kill that. I'm sure. She would have liked to have done that. But in Christ Jesus, that man is dead. God identifies that man dying in punishment for his sin. The day that you and I got born again was the day that we literally became new creations. We became spirit beings that never existed before. You were literally. The only reason you think about your past is because you haven't renewed your mind. That's your problem. It's your unrenewed mind is why you think. You don't change the way you think. Your inner man ain't sitting down there and saying, boy, I remember back when I did. He didn't do none of it. He wasn't involved in any of it. My new nature, my new spirit being inside wasn't worshiping other gods. The one that did that is dead. Your body ain't nothing but a house. Get over it. Quit treating it like it's so holy and something else. If you treat it for what it is, it could be something really good God could use. But we put all the emphasis on it. That's why people, but I finally got over the things of healing ain't no big deal whatsoever. My God, if God would give me a new, brand new spirit, heal my body, it's a drop in the bucket, it's a nothing. If he wouldn't heal my body, I'd think he'd be an idiot. It'd be dumb of him not to. No, what I'm going to do is let the devil just run your body all he wants. I'm just going to let him do that. I'm going to give you a new spirit so you can live like hell. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? Now, that is the gospel preaching in our churches today. You got born again so you can live like hell and just go have a good time. But was it, you've been united together in the likeness of his death? Then he says, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. In other words, just like he was raised, there's a likeness. Now we want to go on. In other words, we're going to have a fullness of resurrection one day. We're going to get a new body just like his. In other words, we're going to have a complete resurrection just like Jesus had. That's the church. That's not the world. The world's not going to have that. The world will have a resurrection. All hell's going to be raised one day and stand before the judgment seat, the white throne judgment, before they go to hell. They'll go to the lake of fire. There's a resurrection coming. People don't talk about that because they don't read the Bible. We got our own little doctrines and theologies. If you read the Bible, you'll find out about it. He said, knowing this, that what our old man was crucified with him. The old man. He ain't talking about your body. You got the same body you always had. I got born again. My body was the same old body. It was the same old thing. So he's not talking about it. See, people get over and get in their thinking. If you get over and teach this stuff naturally, people get over and get thinking in their mind and they say, oh, this is all symbolic. This is symbolic, which means it don't count. It don't matter. It ain't working for us anyway. No, this thing is not symbolic. He said that body of sin might be done away with. The body of sin, what was that? That inner man, that sin nature has been done away with. It was not covered up. Jesus didn't get Clorox and wash up your dirty spirit. It could never be washed up. It belonged to the devil. It didn't belong to God. It was of the nature of the devil. He had to give you a new nature. He had to give you a new spirit. He had to do that. There couldn't be any other way to do it. And he gave you a new spirit. And that new spirit that you have is like God's. He said, the old man was crucified, he said, with that body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Why were you given a new spirit? So you're no longer a slave of sin. Oh, but sin's just going to rule over us. No, we're just going to sin. No, we're not. You're not a slave of sin anymore. So you need to get the right thing. See, sin is going to dominate you as long as you keep talking the wrong stuff. As long as you keep saying the wrong thing. Sickness and disease is sin. You know, I remember Kenneth Hagin saying this one time, and it sort of really, you know, as a young Christian, I thought, boy, see that? He said, it ain't a sin to get sick, but he said it's a sin to stay sick. Oh, people get all upset at that. They don't want to hear it. Why? Sin, sickness and disease is nothing but the offspring of sin. You shouldn't allow it on you. You think God put sin on me trying to teach me something, you know. Give me a break. If you learn to identify sickness and disease as sin, you'll hate it. You'll quit coddling it. A lot of people can't get rid of sickness and disease because they coddle it. We coddle our aches and pains. We coddle them. We're afraid. And it's dominated by fear. That's what it is. It's fear. Don't. Hallelujah. You got a new life. You got the God life in you. And that God life in you has made you to in a position you're no longer a slave. You ain't a slave anymore to sin. You don't have to serve sin. You don't have to serve poverty. You don't have to serve sickness and disease. You don't have to serve any of that anymore. Man, to me that was good news to find out. I was so glad to find out because I'd been serving that stuff. I don't know about you. I served it. And I found out, dear God, I ain't a slave no more to none of that. When that stuff come, I learn. I don't identify that as God doing something to me to teach me something. I identified for what it is. God seated me in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what He did. He identified me with Christ Jesus. He identified me with the glory of heaven. He didn't identify me with sickness and disease. He said, sin ain't supposed to have part in my life. I ain't a slave to it no more. Sickness and disease are for the slaves. When Israel was delivered from Egypt and no longer a slave, when they left the land, there was no feeble among them. Anybody tries to tell me God's using sickness to teach, I can look at him and say, blasphemy. You're blaspheming the word of God. You're preaching sin. That's sin. That's preaching slavery to sin. When Israel left slavery, they got well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You left slavery, glory to God. Well belongs to you. It's yours. Hallelujah. Quit asking God for it and take it. Hallelujah. Take it as yours. Glory to God. Grab a hold of it and say, hey, I've had it with this stuff. I'm not going to serve this in my body anymore. We're not going to serve it. This don't belong to me. It's not mine. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God raised me. I got the life of God in me. Hallelujah. I have God's life. The devil's trying to steal your money. Say, hold it up. I'm not a slave to you anymore, buddy. I don't answer to you. I tell you what, even when I miss the mark, I tell the devil all the time, if I miss the mark, I say, look, buddy, you ain't got nothing in what I'm doing wrong or where I miss it. This is between me and my daddy. I ain't in your kingdom. Shut up. If I mess up, it's not between me and the devil. It's between me and my daddy. The devil talks in people's ears and they go, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Yeah, you're right. I'm just a no good, rotten old thing. I'll just never make it. I just don't know. I'll just try. But you talk the wrong things and you say the wrong things. You don't come out at the end of victory. You don't go to the throne of God, to the throne of grace, to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. You grovel. And that's what the devil wants you to make you feel like you don't belong at the throne. I'll tell you, the throne's where I live. That's my place. That's your place. That's where you belong. That's your position of authority. But understand this, God can't do a thing unless you walk in that authority. You must. You're going to have to do it. You're the one that's going to have to get tired of the slavery stuff. You got it. He said, I set you free from that. It's not yours anymore. You're not a slave any longer. He goes on, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Well, let me ask you, are you dead or are you alive to sin? Which are you? We dead, aren't we? Use it. I'm dead to sin. I'll tell you what, I found out you started saying and believing these things. I found out I didn't have as much trouble with my flesh wanting to do some things. When I began to speak right concerning who I really am, what I really am. See, if you're going to only say these things because you feel that you have come to the place of epitome, that now I have a right to say it, well, it ain't going to work for you anyhow. You got to speak this stuff by faith. I'm righteous by faith. I say, I believe it's so. I don't care if it looks like my body ain't doing right. I'm going to speak what's true about me. I'm never going to bring my body in line talking against the Word of God. James said, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. You'll never walk in divine health if you can't control the way you talk. You'll never do it. You got to learn to talk right. You got to say what God says about you. You speak what God says about you. You don't talk what you see the world and everybody else is doing and what you feel like. Well, my feelings. Well, your feelings go jump, because your feelings will keep you in huge trouble. I speak what the Word says. Say what the Word says. And I'll tell you what, your body will start obeying your mouth. Hallelujah. Start talking the right things. Glory to God. Well, it goes on. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. If I'm dead with Him, I'm supposed to believe I'm alive with Him. You're alive with Christ today. You are alive. You're not going to be. You are. You're alive with Christ. This is. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Listen to the next verse. Likewise, you also! You say, oh, that was Jesus. Well, you don't understand. You don't understand my problems. You know, Pastor, you just don't get it. No, just like Jesus, sin don't have dominion over Him. It's just like Jesus, sin don't have dominion over Him. Just like Jesus was raised from the dead, and He don't have no death in Him. Just like Jesus, likewise you also reckon or consider yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. It don't get any sweeter than that. It don't get any prettier. If you don't think that way, you've missed it totally. Hallelujah. And sometimes we, you know, get over into things. I'm just telling you, get over. Hallelujah. You need it. When you think of resurrection, you shouldn't just think of Jesus. You're in it. If you don't see you in it, hallelujah, then you ain't seen resurrection yet. If God raised Jesus from the dead, it did me no good if I'm not in it. Then I'm dead in my sin. I had to be identified in it. It had to be more than, Ed, I'm just gonna look over your sin. No, God went further. He raised Ed Gibson. He raised you from the dead. Hallelujah. You now are spiritual life. You need to think like that. Sin no longer has dominion over you because it has no dominion over Jesus. If Jesus just is the only one that sin didn't have dominion over and it didn't come to you. Paul had no right to write all those things of how these life we ought to live. You couldn't live it. The only way you can live that life that Paul talked about is if you believe sin no longer has dominion over you. That you've been raised with Jesus Christ. That you're seated in heavenly places today. Hallelujah. You've been separated. God took you out of the kingdom of darkness. He took you out of there. And He put you in the kingdom of His dear Son. You are not in the kingdom of darkness. You're not in a kingdom of sin and death. You're in the kingdom of life. You came from there. You are a citizen of life. You were born. The only way you can get into God's kingdom is through birth. And you couldn't live in both kingdoms. You had to die to one and come to life in another one. And Jesus Christ did that. And when you believed on Jesus, in an instant of time, you died to Satan's kingdom and you became a priest and king of God. With every right that Jesus Christ had. Your Bible says you're a joint heir. The actual original Greek would be a co-equal heir. You know, you could be a joint heir out here on a document. Somebody dies and they show you and say, oh, over here, you're in the document, you're an heir. One heir might get more than another. No, you're a co-equal heir. Everything Jesus got, you get. Everything Jesus got. See, that's hard for the church to believe. Jesus told His disciples, see, I've been raised from the dead. Because I've been raised from the dead, you guys go into the world, you cast out devils. He said, you go out there and see how you can compromise with him and run a church. You know, at least let him have the first two rows on the one side. And then, you know, he'll let you have the other ones, okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Get these things in you. Go over and meditate on these scriptures till these things become real in you of who you really are in this earth. See, for us to walk around the earth and just act like we're just like everybody else, what a falseness. I know this. It does cause a problem when you start seeing yourself, because they'll tell you that, you know, you're big head. You know, you just don't understand. You just think, they're going to do all kinds of things to you. Why? Because they're going to want you. Is the Antichrist spirit. The Antichrist spirit always does this, is to get people to conform. And it always to conform to something less. It's like the end, and I just want to say this, you know, I've watched it over the years, I always wondered what it was. I never understood why the Republican Party would always compromise with the Democratic Party to do things. And they would take a very, you know, they'd have the right principle, but, well, you know, we'll compromise it so they can have some of theirs, which was unrighteous, was bad stuff. I mean, some of it was ungodly. Well, so we can get some of our good past, but I realized what it was about, the Antichrist spirit. They have the Antichrist spirit. It's the spirit of compromise. You know, there's some things, me, spending and stuff, you might have to compromise some things, but you never compromise morality. You don't let sin. You don't say, well, we're going to vote in homosexuality. Yeah, we're going to do this. The reason that stuff comes along is compromise. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to compromise. He can get you to compromise in an area. And see, I'm not blaming them on that. That spirit has been dominated, and it's dominating. You go in your local governments, I don't care where you go, the pulpits of the church, to whatever. You know, like Randy Greer said, you're not in the supermarket. You're not the spirit of Antichrist. You dominate. People are yielded to it. Why? They either forgot the gospel that was preached, or they don't even know what it is to be a Christian. They have no clue. You know, somebody's got to set an example of what Christian is. Someone has to do it. If you're waiting for somebody else to rise up to do it, I'm just going to tell you, you're part of the problem. If you're waiting for somebody else to rise up to do it, if you're waiting for somebody else and we're going to get, well, you know, they won't let me preach here, they won't do this, and I'm not allowed to talk this or do this, and I'm not allowed to do it. So let's go get the lawyers and fight a battle, and we'll start talking the truth when they say it's legally okay. I sat around one time, and I worked at Reese's Candy Company. I was talking to some people. A person came to me about, you know, Christ. I was talking to some people. Some of the people didn't like it. They went and reported me and said about him, me going around preaching to people. They didn't like that. So one of the head guys came to me and said, come in to talk to me about it. Say something about it. I just looked him in the face and I just told him, I said, I ain't going to quit talking about it. I said, I do my work around here. I said, number two, I said, we have rules in here about cussing and swearing. I said, you do it all the time. I said, also, you guys go around here and betting on football games and all that kind of stuff. I said, that's illegal. I said, you want to go out here and talk to me about leaving this place? Or, you know, you guys going to fire me if I go around talking? I said, let's go out front right now. And I said, let's go talk to the plant manager about this and let me tell me the things that I know that you've done. I said, we're going to find out which guy acts better than the other. Well, that shut his mouth. He never said a thing again, and I preached. But I wouldn't care if he'd hauled me out. I wasn't going to quit preaching just because somebody... If your job is worth that much to you, and it's everything, and boy, we just can't. We're going to sit around. We ain't going to talk the things of God. We're going to talk the other stuff. We might as well quit. What's the point? If I can't show my Christianity, and I'm going to fall to that, I'm going to tell... They're going to complain. I don't care if you walk around. They hate the name of Jesus. I mean, them idiots, you know, asked to come and pray for, they asked ministers to come and pray for stuff, and they said, you can't use the name of Jesus. I will not say any prayer for anybody. If I can't use the name of Jesus, then you just let the devil eat your lunch, buddy, because I ain't trying to try to promote any blessing over anybody other in that name. It don't matter to me. I don't care if I don't get to be in the minister's fellowship and we all sit around and, you know, we're just really something in the community. I don't want to hang out with the devil's minister's fellowship. That'll be online, folks. They'll be able to, you can tell them to go hear it. I don't care. I'm tired of the stuff. You know, we have to quit these things. These things must stop. Christians need to stand up. We need to stop. Say, put on the brakes on things and say, no, I'm not going across that line. I ain't letting the devil take me there. I can't do it. God will prosper me. Hallelujah. They can throw me out, but God's taking me in. Hallelujah. Now, there's one thing about it. Now, you don't go around preaching not doing your job. You better be doing your, if you ain't doing your work, you need to be told about it. You do your work. But if I can't use the name of Jesus, too bad. Well, you'll be using it anyhow. I just tell them, say, well, get the firing papers out. Might as well just go ahead and get them out ahead of time because we ain't stopping. Forget it. Like I told them, say, I ain't going to quit. You can do whatever you want. But I want to tell them your story before I leave. You will probably be fired with me. I'll work. I'll make out fine on this thing. Jesus will take care of me. But you in big trouble. because it's you and the devil, and he ain't looking up jobs for people very quickly. And in this economy, you better have God. Because if people are going to try and back off with Jesus, you know, you might be just stuck with the economy. I wouldn't think that's where you want to be. I don't think that's the spot. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.